I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that?
Yep, let's start again. For the record.
For the record, actually I have 6:08. We're going to go ahead and start the meeting because we want to get through our presentation tonight. We have two supervisors present and our two youth and governance present. We hope that the other ones will show up before we have to go into the rest of it. Certification of compliance, Teddy?
Indeed, we have, the meeting was posted on September 2nd and October, I'm sorry, September 27th and October 2nd are the two dates that it was posted.
Okay, and then 6:09, we have our feature program.
All right, thanks. So many of you are aware, as we, Steve and I have been talking over the last several months, that we have been working with state specialist Dave Marcoulier from UW-Madison to look at an economic impact analysis of the musical festival held here every July called Country Thunder. And he has a graduate student who I'm going to introduce, Alan Hugazian, who has been working on this with Dave throughout the process. Alan was even able to come to the Country Music Festival one day with the help of Andy, drove around the site and had a chance to experience it a bit, see what it was like firsthand. And so he's going to talk about the process for how they've collected information and what they've done to turn that into just that, an economic impact analysis. So I want to emphasize that this is draft. Very draft at this point. I know he is going to talk a bit about that, but we're not going to hand out any materials until it's final. We get a final report of all of that. Okay? Alan, it is all yours.
Okay. Well, thank you, Teddy, and good evening to all of you. My name is Alan. Turn this on here. Introduction, we ran a survey with the help of the Kenosha County Department of Planning and Development to measure the economic impact of the Country Thunder Music Festival. We learned a lot at this through the process. A lot of money is spent on and off site. We're going to talk more about that. In this presentation, we're going to focus mostly on the results after I give you some introductory data about what we did. Here's an outline of the presentation. We'll talk about how it was implemented, some festival facts. A lot of the information that I'll share with you, we didn't get through the survey, but we got directly from the festival directors, just to make the survey shorter. We'll talk about this in implementation a little bit.
Excuse me, Alan, can everybody see? Because we can always move the screen. Everyone's good? Okay.
Can you see? I just moved so I can.
Okay.
So what did we want to find out in the survey? What type of questions were on it? This is basically the question. There were about five questions on the survey, and this is what they were. We wanted to know how long they were spending at the festival. There were different types of tickets they could buy. They could buy one-day tickets, four-day tickets, and so forth. We wanted to know if they spent money off-site within Kenosha County. I'll show you a map in 1 second how we help people to really isolate where they spent that money. We want to know how much they spent. It was all multiple choice. We wanted to keep the survey as quick and easy to fill out as possible to maximize our responses. Finally, we used zip code to determine whether they were resident or non-resident. And I think this is the only information they had to actually input anything except a click on a yes or no to choose their answer. Here's the map that they were looking at in the survey. We have a nice bold outline of Kenosha County. We have, if you look closely, there's the festival site is in the southwestern corner of the county. We can see a few of the towns. A lot of traffic went directly to Twin Lakes. I'm sure a lot of that went to Genoa City and Antioch as well. But we were really trying to help people understand where the county borders were and only answer the question in relation to what money they spent in the county. So this is how we tried to get that. Implementation, it was implemented via email. So everyone who registered for the festival did so online, and April Harbor, the associate director, she was able to send out the festival newsletter that that follows the festival every year. Everyone got an email in their inbox that had the newsletter. There was a link to that survey that they could click on and fill out. We were lucky enough to get a guitar incentive. It was an autographed guitar from Jason Aldean and Blake Shelton. We hope this would boost our response rate a little bit. So in order to start running the economic impact analysis right away, we wanted to have a window. The incentive, we hope that people would get right on filling out the survey. But we wanted to start analyzing it. So we collected responses until August 3rd, and then someone won the guitar. We got just under 700 responses. Here are some festival facts, a few facts about the area. I was lucky enough to be able to come down and visit the festival and talk with some local businesses. Local grocery stores and the employees working there, everyone had a really strong reaction to the festival. It's like everyone you talk to, immediately their reaction is, oh yeah, we have a huge boost in sales and business. There are certain times, especially in the morning, whenever the grocery stores are full. Oddly enough, they sell out of liquor and ice in the mornings.
Gee, there's an odd note.
Right. Yep. So you can imagine that's unusual, except during the festival. I have a quotation there in number two. I think one of the grocery store clerks, the people stock up between shows. So, this is going to influence the amount of money that people spent on site on alcohol. Most of the alcohol that people were buying in other groceries, they were buying in nearby towns rather than on site. Local restaurants experienced most of their traffic before the main acts. So before Toby Keith went on Sunday night, while the lesser known bands were playing, a lot of people were eating in restaurants instead. Some more festival facts. 2012 attendance was just over 30,000 people. Through our last question, asking people's zip code, we discerned that almost 95% of the attendees were non-locals, or non-residents. So the festival is mostly attracting people from outside Kenosha County. So approximately 29,000 people are being drawn into the county who otherwise wouldn't be here. This is information that I got from April about on-site spending. It totals to about $5.2 million. Reserved, those are tickets, 4-day, 1-day. So that's where most of the revenue, the gross revenue that Country Thunder is generating on site is in the realm of tickets. Here's the rest of the information here. Here's the same information in graph form, just to illustrate where they're making most of their money. I'm not going to spend too much time on there. Here is individual and expanded expenditures. This is information that we derived directly from our survey. We used midpoint averages and the multiple choice. People could select $20 to $40, $40 to $60. For all of these responses that we got, we averaged them. So what you see on the left two columns for individual, those represent the average total expenditures over a 4-day period. So for example, the average resident over the 4-day period spent $30 on lodging. The average non-resident, $33. And the totals are down below. Those represent the average total they spent off-site within Kenosha County over the 4-day period. What we mean by expanded here, we're taking the average expenditures for our sample size of just under 700 people. We're kind of theoretically applying those same expenditure averages or rates to the entire festival population. So we're kind of theorizing as to how much was spent in total off-site by festival attendees. So what the right column represents is those totals. So we have our, at the bottom right-hand corner, that'll be our infusion into Kenosha County from outside the county. Go ahead.
When you're done, I want to ask something about the previous time.
Sure. So our economic impact analysis is really going to be concerned with that $5.4 million. That's money that's coming from those 29,000 non-residents of Kenosha County into the county. There's a previous time.
Can you go back? One more. Okay, so the reserved, Country Thunder is getting that money. 4-day Country Thunder is getting that money. 1-day Country Thunder. Parking, is that also Country Thunder?
Mm-hmm.
Portalets, that would be like paths?
Yes.
So that's another business that's making $88,000.
Not necessarily.
Am I correct?
Not necessarily, because the portalets were purchased or rented through Country Thunder. So Country Thunder is probably taking
some of that profit.
You mean people are renting a porta potty
for their campsite?
For their campsite.
Got okay. That's what that is. And then the camping is they're paying who for their campsite?
The way I understand it is the festival, the Country Thunder Festival, they rented the land from its owners, which it's several privately owned parcels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're deciding how to rent the parking spots out to people, how to rent the portalets that they rent out to people. So as I understand, this money is all going directly to Country Thunder.
Okay, thank you.
They pay one price to rent the land from the owners.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
That's good insight. I hadn't thought about that. That's
How much they rent those.
So this here would be the same information as this graph for individuals, just in graph form. I thought it was just a little bit of an explanation of how locals versus non-locals stack up in their expenditures. Obviously, we can imagine that non-locals spent a little bit more on transportation. So to recap, I'm going to go into the input-output analysis on the next slide. So total on-site spending was about $5.2 million. Off-site spending by non-locals or non-residents of Kenosha County was about $5.4 million. So pretty roughly comparable numbers there. Off-site spending by locals, which is, I guess, less of a concern to the economic impact, but it's still money that arguably people wouldn't otherwise be spending if the festival wasn't going on. That's $304,000. We're going to set that $304,000 aside in the next few slides and just concern ourselves with the $5.4 million. That's what we would call economically exogenous shock to the county, which exogenous just means $27 word for money coming into the county from outside. So offsite spending, $5.4 million, is coming into the county. The input-output analysis allows us to do certain things and understand what's happening with that money a little bit more complex ways. Namely, how much of this money is staying in the county, which is one of the important things that we were able to find out, and what's the impact of this money on the county. My colleague at the University of Wisconsin, Dave Merkelier, he's the economist who ran these analyses. And he used a software package called MicroImplant, which stores a lot of data from the census and other areas, and you can calculate the economic impact on the county. And it gives us these numbers in the realms of direct, indirect, and induced effects. And we'll talk a little bit more about those. Just to recap, so we're all on the same page, this might be old hat to most of you. What we're talking about in terms of direct impacts, this just refers to the economic impact that results from the direct infusion of new money into the county. Indirect, that is the impact that results from, so as firms try and meet the demand for that direct impact, for example, a store stocking new inventory is going to create more economic impact. An example of this is increase in labor to staff during Country Thunder. So a restaurant might staff additional employees during Country Thunder to meet that demand. Reduced impacts, changes in household income resulting from income gain working during those times. If there's no questions about this, I'll go on. This is table representing input-output analysis in kind of a bare-bones sense. What I want you to notice here is we started with our $5.4 million, but our total effect in the bottom, in the red, in the bottom right-hand corner, the total effect in red, that's $3.9 million. That 5.4 immediately drops to 3.9 as a result of retail margins. I'll explain a little bit more about this in 1 second as I explain employment. But in most of the areas where people are spending money, off-site is in the service and trade industries. Those industries have high retail margins, as they're called, and all that means is when people buy a gallon of gas, I think some 90 cents on a dollar in the gasoline world leaves the state because they don't have oil refineries in Kenosha County. One of the first restaurants as you left the festival was Subway, as you're driving toward Twin Lakes. So as a national company, a lot of the money people spent at national chains such as that leaves the state immediately. If they went to a grocery store and bought a national brand of something, Budweiser, a lot of that money could leave the state immediately. So that explains how we dropped to an initial output of $3.9 million. About $1.5 million leaves the state. But of that $3.9 million, there are these columns here explain what happens to that. So as a direct result of the festival in the county, input-output analysis tells us that 45 jobs are created. And what this number represents is the equivalent of 45 jobs. It's not 45 actual full-time annual jobs. But in a financial sense, it's kind of an estimation of what that is. And those are all in the service and trade industries. So these are grocery employees, restaurant employees, gas station attendants. The indirect effect of that and the induced effects creates an additional 13 jobs in the 5.2 and the 7.8 in the descending columns. And those will be, you know, things like they could be government jobs, for example, teachers to teach the children of the people who work at the grocery stores, and so forth. Labor income. Just over $1 million is paid in wages to these employees as a result of country funding. Indirect and induced effects, those would represent the additional law enforcement or, you know, demand for utilities. Any wages that are paid it's kind of a snowball effect, I suppose, is a better way to put it. The snowball effect of the immediate wages paid to employees is represented by those. Output, the direct impact of our $5.4 million is $2.7 million. But once we add in the direct and, the indirect and induced impacts, it brings it up to $3.9 million. $1 million. So, I suppose, in sum, let me make sure I'm staying on track here time-wise. So there's a lot of that money that people spend, of the $5.4 million that people spend, leaves the state immediately. But a good amount of it stays here. Indirect and reduced impacts, or effects, kind of bring it back up after retail margins take it down initially. So I might as well explain the multipliers since I have them there. As long as those are above one, it basically means that Country Thunder is having a positive effect on the economy. Okay, so some notes on output. All the direct impact effects, like I said, these happen in the retail and service sector, so groceries, restaurants, bars, etc. Retail margins cause us to drop. I jumped ahead of myself a little bit, covered this information in the previous slide, but $5.4 million, we lose a lot of that initially, but then it eventually snowballs back up to $3.9 million. Some notes on employment. I suppose one of the best things to mention about this is the jobs that it creates, being service and trade, they tend to be low wage, some minimum wage jobs. That's kind of ameliorated by the fact that as indirect and induced effects cause us to fan out to different employment sectors, it does create additional jobs in law enforcement and utilities and so forth. Notes on labor income. Just over $1 million paid to employees. This is raised by indirect and induced effects to 1.4. So in conclusion, Country Thunder has a positive effect on the county. While it is a relatively small portion of the county's GRP, or gross regional product, which is just under $5 million. I mean, it happens in a four-day period, and it's positive according to our analysis. While most of this impact is felt in service and retail, and some leaves immediately, 3.9 million stays in the county of that 5.4. So those are my slides. I wanted to stay. Suppose I was successful in staying in my time allotment. I know you all have another meeting to get to. But I also wanted to save plenty of time for questions. So in case I ran through anything too quickly, and I can go back to any of the slides. But also want to acknowledge all the people that helped with this project, the Kenosha County Department of Planning and Development. April Harbor got us a lot of information about on-site expenditures. And of course, Dave Marculier for the input-output analysis. So we have a good amount of time left for questions, if there are any.
So your numbers are, strictly speaking, are based on what the festival goers spent. It doesn't include what Country Thunder spent, for example, the money that they spent on porta potties or alcohol and that trickle down effect. Yours is just based on the attendees. Is that correct?
It is.
Okay. Yes.
But that may be additional. I could ask April about that information. For example, if they rented porta potties from within Kenosha County, that would be additional economic impact, I suppose. Or even the money they paid to people renting them the land. So that might be something that we could put into the final report. Okay. Any other questions?
I have one. Could you go back to the IO analysis? Yes, that one. Okay, I just want to make sure I understand this. So the people that were directly affected, there were an additional 45 people that were directly affected with employment. And you're saying that the total value added was $1.6 million with an output of 2.7, but that doesn't take into effect the cost that the employers have to pay for the insurance based on those employees, is that correct? That's correct. Steve's shaking his head, yes, that's correct.
All that shows is what was spent by visitors at local businesses.
Right.
How that money is then used by the local business owner, we can't get into that. We would have no way of knowing that.
Yeah. But when you look at this, I mean, if they had to bring on extra people to accommodate the people from Country Thunder, do you see where John's got a funny look on his
face? Yeah, but the 45 isn't 45 actual people.
No,
the 45 is an FTE equivalent, right?
FTE
so you take all the people and all the hours that they've worked, and you say, you add all that up, and you divide it by what a normal person would work in a year, and that's how you get to 45 people. So there's a lot more people involved.
Okay.
It's just, if you wanted to talk about it as a year-long job, you get 45, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
They may not have hired anyone.
Right.
They may have worked overtime or worked
Right. But the overhead from those 45, those so-called 45 people, those FTEs, is going to create more of a burden on that shop owner, too.
It could. I mean, again, as Steve said, it may be that they just increase the hours of the current staff. Maybe they have a lot of part-time staff, and that week, or those 4 days, they got to work full-time.
Right.
But presumably, just with any other position that they have on the books, this extra money coming in makes it worth their while to pay somebody extra money. And all those other expenses related to that position are handled the same as their ordinary positions, so that it's a burden until you consider that the shop owner is making money.
Yeah.
Right. And if they did purchase insurance, for example, for those additional employees that they need, that might be taken into account in the retail margin, unless they bought insurance that's based out of Kenosha County. That money would be part of the induced effect. But if they had like a national insurance company that they bought from, that would likely be something that the input-output analysis takes into account for the retail margin.
Right.
That's why it spits out 3.9 instead of 5.4. So that might be taken into account.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of those details we'd have to look closer into.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of questions that I would have on whether or not, you know, you'd have to delve a little bit deeper to get those. Like, did some of the shops open earlier and stay open later to accommodate any of the Country Thunder people or, you know, things like that? Were the restaurants open later?
That's not specifically an economic impact, though. So, I mean, a danger with these kinds of analyses is double counting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is why you don't add what Country Thunder spends on alcohol to what the people spend on alcohol. Country Thunder is spending the attendees' money.
Right.
So when you're getting into the same kind of difficulty when you talk about additional burden on business owners, because it's, to them, it's not really a burden. It's all, you know, any kind of additional expense is proportional to their income, as it would be. And if they're not hiring anybody else, it's gravy. Mm-hmm. So.
And if they weren't going to make money, they wouldn't stay open those extra hours.
Right.
They do the math.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you may have covered this. I'm sorry you got here late. There was a certain sampling. Do you have a percentage of how many respondents there were versus how many tickets are sold?
We do. I did get the information I got from April about tickets sold was in dollar form.
Okay.
So what we do know is that there were just over 30,000 attendees. And a certain percentage of those were four-day. Most of them were four-day passes that people bought. But the thing is that they don't have one price that they sell tickets for. As it gets closer to the festival, the price goes up. A lot of people buy tickets early and they're a lower price.
And the reason I'm asking is, obviously, in order to kind of come up with some of these numbers, you almost have to extrapolate or average out. Is that what you guys did, or did you just strictly take what the respondents you got?
We did extrapolate it out.
Okay.
Yep.
So, if we had 30,000 attendees, what kind of a response from the survey did you guys?
We got 690 responses out of 30,000 people.
Okay.
Which it does.
But I just want to comment. The survey was distributed through an email newsletter that Country Thunder sends out to all their ticket purchasers. So you would have had to open the email from Country Thunder, read the email,
right,
and exactly see where the survey is, click on the link, and fill out the survey. So I have to just say that of those 30,000, now there was that incentive of the guitar, the signed guitar, so the odds were pretty good for the 660 that completed the survey. But so just kind of, I mean, we have to keep that in mind. They would have had to have gone those extra steps.
I just also...
4% is pretty good.
I also wonder, as I'm buying some Elmo tickets in November, so I'm like going up to the Bradley Center, going to see Elmo, I buy the tickets for five people. So if I would be the only one receiving the email then, because I bought all the tickets. So it might be even more difficult to get to the 30,000 if there is one point of contact for a group.
Right.
So. Yep. And only that person gets the email.
That's true.
Yeah, I have friends that went, and I know one of them bought 20 tickets for everybody because it was easier to buy them in a bundle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
So that makes them.
Did they win the guitar?
No.
The guitar didn't stay. The guitar didn't stay in Kenosha.
I would love to do this next year because I think that once people hear that you can win an autographed guitar, they're going to want to fill out the survey.
I think the
response rate is going
to
go up about
20 times. It would be interesting to do 2 years in a row. That would be interesting.
I
would love to do it.
That would be
now
very...
Now we have all the hard work done.
Yeah.
So that's roughly about 0.5%, give or take a little bit, their response. Is that about what you guys anticipated? Or did you think you were going to do it better, a little worse? It's okay with it? Just from a gut feel?
It's worse than... I think it's worse than we expected to do. But, I mean... Hindsight being 2020, we kind of hypothesized, like Teddy was saying, we kind of thought about why it was so low. I mean, this is a demographic of 18 to 25 year olds. They're for a pretty fun weekend for what they're, I mean, they're the type who I think would really like to have this guitar. You know, these were, Blake Shelton was a big name at the festival. So we were kind of scratching our heads after the fact, but when we realized that people had, I mean, it was contingent on how many people opened the email in the first place, how many people read, maybe the survey link was in the third page, so how many of them read through the back of it. And as was said earlier, if people purchased multiple tickets, maybe there only one person got the email for 20 people.
Do you guys know about all the purchases of tickets online, or do you have to go physically and online? So you really can't even, unless you could somehow attach a link on there, participation is going to be about what we Okay, thank you.
Well, we also think that, at least I think, maybe a lot of the people just didn't remember even being.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. I do wonder if there was a booth at Country Thunder where people could sign up with their email and you explain to them, fill out the survey when you get home and you get thrown into a pot to try to win the signed guitar. If they did that at the festival, because you might get more email addresses.
Can't read them.
Well, they have to be legible. They have to be legible and
maybe
to receive
Friday,
the questionnaire.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really great. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Any other questions?
You are welcome to stay through the rest of the meeting, but I also told him if he wants to get back to Madison, he can do that too. So you do what you need to do.
Yeah. If I could have a copy of that emailed over to me. Do you have a copy of the presentation?
We can't. It's too draft. We have to wait till the final.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to distribute this. It's draft form. You'll get the final report.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to release this.
Okay.
I have some of my notes.
Yeah. That's one more thing.
And just be cautious, because he and Dave are going to continue to do modeling with this. So these numbers could change. I mean, they're not. That's why it's very draft.
Point.
I'll
put a note at the
top.
This is a draft.
Yeah,
but we're not
going to
release this until.
Right. Yep, so you'll all be getting a copy of the report when it's completed, but we'll keep you posted on it. But we'll be continually working on it through the rest of the fall.
Okay.
And I'll just add, I don't want to go over my time, but we also have vendor impacts, which were kind of too insignificant to mention here. I think it was around $6,000 that they infused in addition to that 5.4. But this will all be in the final report. So
that was it? $6,000 for vendors?
Yeah.
They buy local items in the community.
Right.
A lot of them buy stuff outside.
They bring it in. Buy it outside and bring it in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Want me just to jump in with my report?
Absolutely.
Director's report. Let me.
641.
The Leadership Kenosha program kicked off this last month. We have 16 participants. Very exciting group. The age range is probably the widest we've ever seen. About 24 years old is our youngest participant to mid-50s. So it's a real nice, diverse group of people. So it'll be a lot of fun. This year will be a lot of fun. I did hold a visioning session. Earlier this month, on October 3rd, for getting community stakeholders input on our community resource development position. And so I'm going to ask, as committee members, if you would also participate in the process. So what I'm handing you is the list that was generated by the folks who were at the meeting, indicating what they wanted to, or they thought were the needs or the hopes for this position.
I'd love to help. I can't touch it.
It's a piece of paper. I can't paper.
I could go straight to help.
If you had had this on email, we could have sent this back to you by now.
Everybody. There are items on the other side. So I want you, if you could leave it with April, that would be great. But I do want them tonight. So here's how we did it. Everybody in the room had a chance to identify what they believe to be their hopes and real needs for the position. Again, this is the position that Steve is currently holding as the interim. Steve completes his interim assignment in 2 weeks. The position will be vacant. We're going to hire a full-time faculty member for this position. In order to do that, we need to get a sense of what are the needs of the position. What's the needs in the county? What should this position focus on? It's a very broad position. Community development, natural resources, and economic development. So given all of those
topic areas. We had stakeholders representing all of those areas, and this is the list they came up with. They each got 5 dots. They went around the room and they placed 1 dot on one issue that they believe to be a priority. So you use your X's or O's or stars and star 5 lines that you believe to be high priority. So you two are going to get to vote in the process. Spend your 5 dots any way you like on any of those on the front page or the back page. Okay? And again, you don't have to do it now.
Is it one star per line, or can they stack
up multiple? No, it is one per line. Only one star per line.
So you want us to pick the 5 most important.
That's exactly right. Don't
for
just put a star. For you, exactly. For you personally, what do you believe to be the 5 most important priorities for the position? I'm going to combine your results with the results of the folks who were at the visioning session, and that's going to help frame the priorities and add to the position description. Yeah.
There's one there says address quality of life issues to keep and attract workers. With ties to economic development, which is great, but what was kind of meant by that?
From the perspective that in order to attract workers, businesses want to sell the community. In order to sell the community, we want to say we've got great schools, mm-hmm. we have great recreational facilities, we have clean water, we have great parks, okay. we have bike trails, that whole, what's the quality of life like for us to use that as our incentive for businesses to choose to locate here or for them to attract more workers to move here?
So is the idea with that particular statement that they may pull together kind of a summary page or summary folder or something? That
absolutely. Or they may be working with other groups in the community that help build that infrastructure and support cleaner parks, safer parks, more bike trails. I mean, they may be working with nonprofits and other organizations that build to that, that contribute to that quality of life.
Okay.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
5 dots. You're selling. You're picking 5 priorities for the community development position.
If you had to pick, you could just X 5 different lines, front and back page. And again, I'm going to ask the educators to keep going with their reports so that you can get across the hall. So if you don't get it finished and leave it with me, leave it with April, and she'll take it and give it to you. But I do hope you can give it to me tonight. That would be great. The position.
I'm thinking, what did Annie all do? Because that's what I want.
Oh, well, this is our opportunity to not, you know, to look at what's the future. What do we need now? The community is a lot different when we hired Annie 10 years ago. You know, what we did for her priorities was what was then. Now we need to look at what the priorities are today.
I'm just going to put her name at the top and put 5 stars next to it.
Annie. As a dot, not a 1 through 5.
That's right. X, a dot, or whatever. Just envision. I said dots because that's what they used. They walked around the room and stuck a sticker dot on each of their 5 choices, so I'm giving you the same prerogative. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to the educators and let them give reports, and we'll keep this rolling.
Well, since I've seen you guys last, the 4-H has been very busy. In September, they had Project Reorganization, which is where all the countywide project leader adult volunteers come together. They go over the past year's project ideas, what they've done. They look at the calendar for the next year. They figure out and asking the kids, parents, youth, and the volunteers that are heading up the program, the project areas, they're getting together and deciding what they want to teach for the following year. For example, fishing, dairy, beef, and small animal girl, they're getting together. So they set their ideas, and they also feel that charter renewal gives John and I a chance to answer any questions that they have for the year, things that might even change. They also look at the 4-H program guide, which goes out to every single family so they can enroll in the 4-H program. General leaders also met that same week. It's our chance to go through them again, how their year went, what's coming up for this year, the questions they may have, if there's change of leadership within their club, general leaders retiring, general leaders coming on, which we have 2 clubs that have new general leaders that are taking part this year that have stepped up their boundaries. And then after that, the following week, we had the Kenosha County 4-H Council meeting where they oversee the budgets and trips and awards and things like that and fundraising. They had their annual meeting, which they had their elections for the board of directors, so they are all brand new, and we'll be meeting again with them in October to go through what the board is going to do for the year. And then that following Tuesday, we had the open house, which an invite goes home to every second, third, and fourth grader in within Kenosha County. Unified puts it on their website. That doesn't go home directly with every student, but the other schools, it goes home directly. And we had about 200 people that participated that night between the clubs, the projects, and the families coming in and learning about 4-H. This coming month, there is the 4-H interviews for the youth that are 7th grade and above. It gives them the opportunities to attend trips and awards, State Youth Conference, CWF, and then we also give out, the council gives out 3 scholarships to youth that are going on to higher education. The other thing that I would like to invite you guys to, and I know it's paper and I'm going to apologize, is our 4-H Awards night. And this is where we give out the scholarship winners are announced. And
it's on a board night, isn't it?
No,
Tuesday the
23rd.
I think our Human Services meeting got moved, so I might have
to give it to It's Tuesday, October 23rd. 6:30 is the reception. 7 o'clock is the awards ceremony. And, sorry, guys, I was used to seeing as Barb was sitting over there for some reason. So I apologize. So it just gives, it's our chance to give awards, highlight our volunteers and our youth. So if you would like to come, and then Kim, I have some for the rest of the county board for you to hand out to you for them. And that's it in Forchland, if you guys have anything else. Otherwise, I'm going to turn it over to John and Rose.
Well, just very quickly, our Rural Landowner Conference is coming up the first Saturday in November. It's designed for individuals who own rural land that may or may not be farming. We can try to give them general information on a variety of topics, from agriculture to conservation, everything in between. What I'm excited about is this year, for the very first time, we're offering an electronic waste recycling event along with the conference. So it'll be here at the Kenosha County Center from 8 to 11 if you have any electronic items that you no longer wish to own. That would be a great place to be here.
When was that?
It's November 3rd, Saturday, November 3rd.
Here.
Here.
Okay.
In the parking lot.
That's the big
don't bring it in. Yeah. Look for the big.
Now, is it going to be like the, is this the first one that you guys are doing?
It's the first one we've ever done, yes.
Okay, because I've seen the ones in the parking lot before, and it's like just a madhouse out there, because you drive in one way, and they've got the big trucks out there, and you have to...
Cones.
And the cones.
And
the hazardous waste.
Yeah, that was
probably
the, yeah.
This will be strictly electronic, so hopefully it won't be so crazy.
Next, John.
Real quick, Beth has been working with our newest Carthage College student, Samantha, and they've been recruiting after-school ambassadors. And you did your first little training yesterday.
Yep.
And how many Carthage students for
12.
Mentors? 12. So it was a good first day of the program, getting Carthage students out at one of our elementary schools for tutoring and mentoring. So we just see big things from this program moving forward. And hopefully, if word gets out, we can keep on expanding the program to different locations. So that's really good. Secondly, I have my first YouthQuest presentations of the year this Friday, Bradford High School. So I'm really pumped because it's like my favorite thing to do, going out and talking to high school students about their futures, scaring them a little bit, and then getting them some good resources to say, hey, if you really want to get on this, and I know you guys are all over this stuff, but you know some of your classmates who might not be. So what I really do is try and target those students who think that college or technical college may not be for them. That's really my focus of my presentation, to say, you know, regardless of where you're at with school, you really need to think about your future, and here are some things to do that. So as you can see, I'm a little passionate. So we'll see how these first couple go. And then finally, Youth as Resources. Got our first granting meeting next Tuesday. Always fun seeing young people distribute funds to other young people to do service projects. And so we have 3 grants at our first meeting next week. So the youth come in, they present their stuff, the youth groups leave, and then the board actually gets into it. And they talk about what was good, what wasn't good, and then they vote. So democracy at its finest. And that happens next Tuesday at 5 to 6:30. And I always want to say, please feel free, if you ever want to come to a YAR meeting, they're open for all of you to come and see it. So it's kind of cool. And that's my really condensed short version of my report. So.
Have you had any luck at Parkside, or just had any really, you know, because you're having success at Carthage as this winter?
Well, our success at Carthage, and you know, it always goes back to who knows who, right? So Samantha, who we recruited because she was our summer AmeriCorps Vista worker, she did a great job. So we said, hey, we've got this opportunity. She was like super jumped on it. And her sorority, she went in and said, hey, we should be doing this. So, right, it's like looking for those connections. And maybe Dustin Beth might be a good person
Parkside.
To talk to about Parkside and see how active he is on. But boy, if we could get hooked in with a sorority or another student group, I think that's how we get to sustainability. Because like the sororities kind of adopted after school ambassadors as their service effort. So that's a great idea. Maybe I will make a few calls and see if I can talk to Mr. Beth about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be really
yeah,
good. Well, no, because it's a whole nother huge Absolutely. Institution that could add a lot to the community. Yeah. So, yeah, good. Thank you.
Very cool.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. I think we're okay. 6:54. 6:54.
The e-waste thing.
It's no Saturday, November 3rd.
What time?
8 to 11.
8 to 11.
Oh, that's right. She's presenting.
Why was this called Generations in the Workplace?
Frank
Elementary. Agenda.
She's got it all written out.
You have the total wrong agenda.
This is October 10th.
This is the agenda. I don't know. I know, but I saw that too, so she never changed that. I don't know where that. I didn't even look at that.
Yeah, this is our agenda. See this?
Friday. Ms.
Generations, really. October 10th, 2012. I was Generations in the Workplace.
I think like 11, and she's got two glasses, and also
was
like 11.
So this is the old one that was.
Yeah, I might have asked.
You know, April asks us to use a month in advance.
You're my spiel.
And it's for us. I know for there. It's what they need, but it's not our schedule
I know.
At all.
I don't know. I'll
so
all right.
A month ago, I was going to do that. When he said he was able to be here tonight, I said, let's get this baby in.
I know.
So, yeah. So
talking about our job.
Yeah. So I would say the first one that goes out, never pay attention to the first one that goes out that's posted. Seriously. Because I think they even make changes.
They didn't send us a new one.
Yeah, they didn't send us a new one.